the spine, the very base going out into your hips. If that's you, then the grace of God is here. Okay?
It's good to be with you and to share God's word with you. I've got something for the kids to start off with first, but adults, you can join in too, because there's goodies. So kids, if you want, you can come down the front. That would be good if you could. So this... So what? If they are coming, I'm just going to pray quickly. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that you come and you've given us everything, that we can partake, Lord, of what you've given us, and we can share what you've given us. Lord, this is how you made us to love, to share, and to give. Lord, I pray that this comes through this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So this up here is an image. Right, sweetie in it, who can tell me what this image might be? Any kids?
Oh, blurred, isn't it?
It's blurred out for a reason.
A lady pushing a pram into a wall.
Oh, I like that. A lady pushing a pram into a wall. That's good.
Yeah, what you do.
Anybody else? You can have a sweetie for that one. It's not ready. Yeah, go for it, George. Oh, someone's standing mowing the lawn, roll into a wall. Well done, George. Chocolate or burger or a nice sweet. Right, okay.
Hope you're ready to catch.
There you go, George.
Oh, your dad's almost got it.
Right, anybody else? I'll just take. Right, go for it.
A manny walking into a wall.
Yes, that's really good. It's not the right answer, but don't worry. Go for it, Callum. Sorry, say that again, Callum.
It looks like a mutated 10.
A mutated head?
No, it's
10. Oh, a number 10. Oh, right. Oh, I like the way you're thinking there, but you're wrong.
Go on in, Steve.
Thank. All right, go for it, Ian.
Ernie washing the car.
Ernie washing the car. Yes. That deserves a sweetie.
A man parking the car.
Give it to Ernie. This is nation sharing. This is moment.
Okay, that's fine. Right, I will move on quickly. So, next dim slide, please. You're about to find out, but this slide, as we reveal, you've got to start guessing what this might be and where it comes from. And so, take the first slide away, please. Here, just have it. This might be hard for some of you to see at the back.
Is that a country?
No, so you've got a country. Okay, we've got a country. Next one away, please. Any more clues? A bit more clues there?
Japan.
Oh, who said Japan? Right, as in, well, you said Japan as well. You said Japan. Anybody else?
You said Japan. Steve, there.
All right, I'll leave the sweets down here. Okay, more revealing, please. Right, and another one. And another one. And another one. Can anybody guess from this what this might be?
Child dragging a teddy
bear. Not move on. Yeah, carry on, yes, and again. Oh, that's a... No, it's all right. So we've got the word punch and we've got the word plushy. Anybody have any ideas what this might be? Pardon?
A monkey.
A monkey, you're right, it's about a monkey. So can you clear more? Yep, yes, please.
Snowman.
Any more? Anybody have any ideas what this might be?
No.
Oh, this is good then. Okay, carry on. Yeah.
Oh, another one. I've
seen that. And the last one. That'll be. Okay. Those of you. Oh, some of you spotted it's on the news. This in the past month has lit up the internet, because this monkey here is called Punch. He lives in Japan, and it's in whatever that name is, City Zoo. He's 7 months old, This monkey is called Punchkin. Now, Punchkin was rejected by his mother, but he needed rescued. And the humans came in, boys and girls. The humans came in, rescued him, and nursed him, and fed him, watered him, cleaned him, helped him in every way they could for 6 months. But because the zookeepers, they knew that he couldn't hang around with them any longer. Because if he did, then he'd become lonely. Because that's what, I know it's sad, but that's a reality, that's a fact. Because he's only learnt the human way, not the monkey way. And so they had to put him back into the pen. And this is where the internet went boom, because when they put him back in the pen, the other monkeys rejected him because he smelt of human. Aww. Now we're all saying, oh, but that's just the way it is, it's life. So they threw in a plushie. Yeah, the plushie! They threw in a plushie, and the plushie helped out the situation because Punchkin held on to the plushie, hugged the plushie, even though it's an orangutan, which is not his naked monkey. The orangutan plushie did not speak, did not do anything, but he just held on to it. And this brought in a lot of limelight because the other monkeys that were rejecting him, one in particular, grabbed him and threw him around the ground and threw him away. And everybody then took to their mobile phones and went, "This is awful! These zookeepers should know better than that. How terrible!" The zookeeper who knows best, when you have to understand, it's not right. But, and it's hurtful for you to watch, but he needs to integrate. He needs to get to his own. So he needs to find a way of doing it. And through his resilience, Plushie has started building up relationships with them. The human aspect on him has gone away. His human understanding after 6 months is slipping away. And he's really getting to understand what it's like to be a monkey. And he's growing on the family of monkeys. And they're getting used to him. And there's a lovely monkey that came over to him. And that was the first break for him, and started grooming him. It just took a minute, but that broke something in him, and he started really changing. And now he's moving on. He doesn't have his plushie as much. And he's sitting under different places, like the other monkeys are when it's raining heavy, looking for shelter and copying them. He's doing really well. Just wanted to let you know. So, there's a story in the Bible, boys and girls, of a baby that might be similar to Plushie. Yeah, hold that
right,
one there.
Right, okay.
Does anybody know, it's not exactly the same, but it has similar things. Does anybody know in the Bible a story that might be like this, of rejection, but not in the same? Yes, Thea?
Moses,
correct. Moses, yeah, move on to the next one. Moses wasn't exactly rejected by his mother, but the mother had no choice. She had to give him away to save him. So Moses, boys and girls, had the most incredible life as an Egyptian. But then when he realised who he was... No, sorry, not yet. When he realised who he was...
Whoops.
He had a fight and had to leave Egypt. He was in the wilderness for 40 years, becoming and learning his identity and growing this way. And then God called him back and rescued all of the Israelites. And now that's the most amazing story, because quite frankly, if anybody else in that land had God had chosen to come and rescue the Israelites, it wouldn't have worked. Moses had been taught by the Egyptians. So therefore he could walk straight into the temple. And they wouldn't stop him because he had the markings. Even though he was an Israelite, he had the markings and he spoke their language. I believe like Punch, that Punch will relate better to the humans than the other monkeys will. Because he's had that 6 months experience. The Egyptians accepted Moses, but what Moses was bringing to them, Pharaoh didn't accept. But we all know the story. Those of you that know the story of Moses, the most amazing thing happened and the people were released. They were rescued. Amen. Punch was rescued. You can guess where this is going. Rescue missions, spread the Bible. So, boys and girls, at the back, I see you've started already with what I'd put at the back. There are some pictures of Moses. There's also some toy, well, things to build up. Because Plushie's a teddy, and because of also Punch, what I'd like you to do, you've already done that all, make your own little teddy things, colour in your own Moses thing, and I want you to give your own teddy, whatever you build up there, it's called a pom, give it a name. And I want to hear the names at the end. And also tell me something about him at the end, though. Tell me something about him that you really like and something that you can do for him or what he can do for you. So if you can do that at the very end, I would really appreciate it. So name, an age, if you want to give him an age, and something that you really like about him. And please colour in the Moses sheets. Thank you ever so much. Right, moving on now to the sermon. Right. Pardon?
You can colour in too.
Oh, sorry, no colouring in for the adults. This is a picture of old Fuzzy Face. This takes me back to, when I was in my 20s. I worked in a nursing home. It was called Grampian Nursing Home in Inverness. It's not called Grampian Nursing Home anymore. Down corridor 3, there was an elderly gentleman. He lived in America, but moved over to Britain eventually. And he didn't have so much of his American twang, but this elderly gentleman, he was tall, slim and aged, but he was grumpy. Oh boy, was he grumpy. I could tell you stories about his grumpiness, but I missed the point if I do. I remember sitting with him having a cup of tea in his room in the evening. And I said to him, "You've got photos of your family on you know, beside you." And he told me about his children. He told me about his wife. And I said, "But something's bothering me. You've got this picture of this man on the wall that totally doesn't fit any what I would call relation to him. It just was totally out of place." And I said, "If you don't mind me asking, who is this gentleman in the wall?" I'd never seen him smile. I'd never seen him laugh. He looked at me and poised, and a big grin came on his face, and he started laughing. And I was like, "Okay, this is interesting." And he said, "That's old Fuzzy Face." And I said, "Right." And he says, "He's my buddy from Vietnam." And I thought, I'm going to need another cup of tea and a few more biscuits. So we sat and we chatted about old Fuzzy Face. Now, James would not tell me his name. He wouldn't. I thought, why won't you tell me his name? Surely it's important. But he just said, "No, he's just old Fuzzy Face to you as well." And I thought, all right. So he told me about, and he was a civilian in Vietnam, and he owned a shop, and all the soldiers would come. But one day, James was really badly hurt. He did everything he could to help out James. He was James's hero that day, and they became best friends. And years later, he would come over to America to visit James's family, and then over to Scotland to visit him there. And James would go over and visit him there to see his family. They were best buddies. But let me tell you, he smiled all the way through talking about him. And I was like, wow. I mean, he loved his family, but there was something about this relationship of being blessed and helped by somebody that just did the world of good to him. So because he was a grumpy man, poor James, in the morning, I came to him the next morning and I said, "Morning, James, it's time to get up." And he went, "Go away." And I was like, all right, okay, that conversation yesterday was obviously, forgotten about. And he was just really rude and really grumpy. And I said, "James, what would old Fuzzy Face think of you just now, lying in your bed?" This little smirk came on his face. And his hand came out from under the covers. And he looked at me and pointed and went, "Oh, he." And he says, "I knew I shouldn't have told you." And from then on, James and I had this fun relationship with old Fuzzy Face. Whenever he was feeling down, I booted in old fuzzy face, and a great rapport, just a great rapport. This is what I pray for you all. I pray for you all, as you get older, that you have an old fuzzy face friend that brings you joy every now and again, that can snap you out of things. But the thing is, what I really want is the Holy Spirit to do that for you in your lives. So if you'd move on, please, to the next slide. If you wouldn't mind turning to 1 Samuel 25, 1 Samuel 25. I'm going to try my best to read this. I will probably break some things. I will probably just not go full into scripture because chapter 25 is huge. but there's so much in it. The characters I want to focus on, next slide, please, is David, Abigail and Nabal. This story is amazing. And it brings about something that is quite classic for the Lord and who he is to each and every one of us. David, to give you background, David had just had this meeting with Saul in the cave. He'd managed to get Saul's garment cut off, and he stood there in front of Saul and said, I could have killed you, but I didn't, because you are the anointed one. Saul, realizing that he could have had his life taken away from him just like that, turned to David and said, you're more of a righteous man than I, and then apologized to him. You'll read that in chapter 24. And this is where David was, and then David then was with Saul and the whole Israelite procession because Samuel had died. Samuel, who'd made an incredible mark on David's life, an incredible mark on Saul's life. And this was the position of David, said bye-bye to Samuel. He was then with his army. He had 600 men with him. And they had looked after sheep. They'd looked after land in Carmel. He was at the top. And it was a time when there was the shearing feast. A feast where they get out the shears and cut all the sheep's hair off. And it's a time of celebration for all shepherds. A time of giving. The owner of all this was Nabal. And Nabal, his character in scripture in 1 Samuel 25 is this. In some versions, he's evil. Not a nice man. Wicked. There was something about him that was not right. But he was very rich, very wealthy, and he knew how to throw parties. How'd you weigh that up? I don't know. But the other thing about him was he had the most beautiful, as scripture says, the most beautiful intellectual wife. Hands up, men, if you've got that. The thing is, Nabal did not look at his wife that way. Nabal was all about himself. There was a root of evil in him. And he was all about doing things his way. So David wanted his men fed. And he knew because there was a feast at Nabal's house, he knew that there'd be plenty of food. So he said to his ten servants, go down and speak to Nabal and ask. So we picked this up in chapter 6. So if you wouldn't mind for me. So, peace be with you. Sorry, verse 6. Thank you ever so much. 25, verse 6. Peace be with you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. Now I have heard that you have shearers. Your shepherds were with us, and we did not hurt them, nor was there anything missing from them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you, therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give whatever comes to your hands to your servant and to your son David. Stop. Wait. Sorry, was that not? Yeah, to your son David. So when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and waited. David had sent out the request, 10 men. That means 10 witnesses. That means 10 men together. There was no mistake here. They all backed each other up, and they also showed Nabal that there was also an account. Ask your hired men, ask your shepherds about this, because they will tell you what we have done for them. And they said this all to Nabal. And also to add on to it, your son, David. Which meant there's a relational aspect here. Nabal came from the descendants of Caleb. Caleb was from the line of Judah. David was from the line of Judah. So therefore, they were related, which meant that they knew each other. And because they knew each other, they would have helped each other. That's why David helped him out, looking after his men in the field with the sheep and looking after the sheep. What does Nabal say? Oh, Nabal, Nabal, Nabal. Next slide, please. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one of his from his master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men when I do not know where they are from?" It's important to note that the men waited for the answer. And it's important to note that he did know David. What an answer to give. What an insult. What an insult. What a horrible insult. Imagine this. Pete Anderson and his squad of, let's just say 600 men, wherever they may be. And they're coming. And they come because they know that Inverness has the most wealthiest church ever. And they're having a huge feast. And he sends some of his men and just say, "Can you go and just say that Pete Anderson's coming and he's wanting some food, if that's all right?" And we turn around and go, "Who's Pete Anderson? You could be anybody. We don't know who you are. You could have left the church. You could have done this. You could have done that. We don't know who you are. We're not giving you any food." And they go back and report it to Pete. How do you think Pete's going to feel? David was angry when he heard this report. And he grabbed, and he said to his men, "Grab your swords, gird them up, we're going." Who does this man think he is? I'm just paraphrasing, because I will get to it. But you can imagine the rage in him. And David was caught in this horrible situation where he'd risen up with anger within him. Was it right for him to be angry? Some could say yes, some could say no. Was it right for him to want to wipe out Nabal's family? The thing is, what Nabal had done was he had stopped hospitality and brought in hostility. Mm-hmm. Nabal had stopped hospitality and brought in hostility. If you look back in Genesis, you will see that Abraham, when the three men came that were the angels of the Lord, Abraham's first response was, "Hold, wait there. I'm going to prepare something for you." That's hospitality. You've come to my house. You've come asking. We've got to prepare something for you. What a beautiful sign of hospitality. Abraham never showed hostility to these men. But Nabal was showing hostility. That was fighting talk. That was anger talk. And David was like, no, he is not keeping to the principle of what is given to us by God, that we must give, we must help, and particularly family members. This was not going to go well for Nabal. But Nabal, as we can see, just did not care. But hallelujah, praise the Lord for an intelligent, beautiful woman. Then, and then we read this in the next one, please. Now, one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he revealed them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them. When we were in the fields, they were a wall to us both by day, night and day. All the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now, when Abigail saw David, she... Oh, have I gone too far there?
No, therefore. 17.
Pardon? 17. Oh, hang on a minute. I've gone on too far because I've gone on...
So, in 17. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do. For harm is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a scoundrel that one cannot speak to him.
Imagine saying that to Nabal's wife. Your husband's a scoundrel. I think she kind of knew. I think she knew. And she had to do something quick. So it says that she gathered in haste all the food that she could, laden it up to donkeys, and rode out. Now, can you imagine doing this in haste? You could if the feast was already prepared. And she took from this massive, huge table 200 loaves of bread, 200 cakes of, cake dates, I think they were, and also big sacks of wine. And she laid them all up, all ready to give. This woman was all about hospitality. This woman knew that David had missed it and wanted to bring the party to him. The hospitality. She also had something else in her heart to give to David, and she was not going to miss it. And she was on a mission. So we pick this up in verse 23. Now, when Abigail saw David, she dismounted quickly from the donkey, fell on her face before David and bowed down on the ground. So she fell at his feet and said, oh me, on me, my Lord, on me, let this iniquity be. Iniquity be. And please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant. Please let not my Lord regard this scoundrel, Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord, whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, since the Lord has held you back from coming to bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hand, now then, let your enemies and those who seek to harm for my Lord be as Nabal. Woo. And now, this present which your maidservant has brought to my Lord, let it be given to your young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house. This is prophetic. Because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord, and evil is not found in you throughout your days. Yet a man has risen to pursue you and seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God and the lives of your enemies. He shall sling out as from the pocket of a sling, and it shall come to pass when the Lord has done for the Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you ruler over Israel, that this will be no grief to you, no offense of heart to my Lord, either that you have shed blood without cause or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant. Where have I got to in there? Okay, 32. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and from avenging myself with my own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has kept me back from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me. Surely by morning light, no males will have been left to Nabal." So David received from her hand what she had brought to him and said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have heeded your voice and respected your person." Yeah! Yes, yes, yes! How exciting is this? Abigail comes in and rescues the day for everybody. What a woman! What an incredible woman! There's so much in this of hospitality. There's so much in this of obedience. And there's a prophetic word given to David. David also has stopped, she has also stopped the bloodshed from happening. Can you imagine if Abigail wasn't there? Can you imagine how the story of hospitality would be completely changed? Can you imagine how awful it would have been, this writing about David, and he went in there and slaughtered them? Hospitality may be very different, but here it sets the precedent of what hospitality means. It sets the precedent of what giving means. It sets the precedent of how important it is. It calms even the righteous man's anger. I don't know who I'm speaking to here, but it calms the righteous man's anger. David needed calmed, and when he saw it, he thanked God. If you need to thank God today because sometimes you get angry, thank him. When somebody comes along and points out something so good to you, or even gives to you, or even blesses you. Abigail. I want you to remember Abigail. I want you to know how awesome she is as a person. And David respected her. It's not long after, Abigail went back to her husband in peace, and he was as drunk as a skunk. And she was going to tell him everything that happened. She went, "No, I will leave it till morning." What a wise woman. So she left it till the morning. And as she told her husband's heart started to fail. He became like stone. And then 10 days later, died. What a way to end for poor Nabal. What a way to end. But this man should have, and rightly so, should have kept everything honouring to David. He should have been hospitable rather than hostile. So my encouragement for you to all today is be hospitable. Always work in love. Always work in giving. There's passages of scripture I'm just going to read out. So you don't mind going to the next slide. Okay, and I've just written them up there. Hebrews 13:1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Do not neglect to do good, to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." I love that one. Such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Show hospitality, it says in 1 Peter, to anyone without grumbling. Get your grumbling head out of here. John 1:3, 16 to 17. "By this we now We know, have I got it there? Yes. By this, we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and he ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods, that means plenty riches, and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, he does God's how does God's love abide in him? It's very difficult. Matthew 22, verse 1 to 3. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who preached a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servant to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. So he went out into the highways, told them to go out into the highways and the byways and tell them to come in." Right from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, what a place of hospitality that was. By the way, the Garden of Eden had everything. Adam and Eve can take of it. Pure hospitality, and Adam walked with the Lord in the cool of the day. Brilliant. And it says in Matthew that there's coming a time where the banquet table is going to be full. He is the host with the most. That's our God. He's the host with the most, and he wants you there. He wants you banqueting with him. He wants you sharing with him, and you'll share with others. Romans 12, verse 9 to 13. Let love be genuine, people. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. I love this bit. Outdo one another in showing honour. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be consistent in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Hospitality rescued David. Hospitality rescued all the men. My encouragement to you all this day is, be hospitable to everyone, and they should see Jesus in you. And what a reward it is. As I just go back to just that last one, which is Hebrews 13:16. Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. If you want to please God, be hospitable. Open everything to him. Open everything to other people too. Be hospitable. That's God's word for you. There's a world outside that door. They've had hostility from churches. They've had hostility from people that call themselves Christians. They've had hostility from people in the world. I think it's about time they had hospitality. I think it's about time that they saw they can be introduced to the host with the most for them. I'm just going to finish there. Thank you, Lord, so much that you're God Almighty and you want for us to do your will. You want for us to get out there and help those that are hurt, that are broken, that need to be shown hospitality. Lord God Almighty, I pray that we move into hospitality. Lord, I spoke at the front with the kids, which was this. Humans came in to rescue that monkey. And Lord, Moses, you caused Moses to come in and rescue the nation of Israelites. And Lord, a friend that I worked with, well, a friend that I helped in the hospital, he had an old fuzzy face that helped him out. And Father, Abigail, I pray that we're like Abigail's. We don't miss an opportunity to bring words to people, to set them free, to help people who don't get help from anybody else. Lord, bring blessing from this church to those out there. In Jesus' name, amen.